Now, that there we go. Those who have been watching online will just have to read lips for the first part. But we're speaking here, I will give them a quick introduction. We're speaking here of 1 Timothy 2:4, where it is said that God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And we are looking at what does he mean by all men. And that's revealed in verse 1 when he says that prayers, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. The same phrase there in the Greek. It's all men, all human beings. And but that does not mean, as I remember reading early on in my studies on the grace of God, it does not mean everyone without exception. It means everyone without distinction. Now, he starts by saying in verse 2, for kings. Now, this is written during the time of Nero, and Nero had unleashed a horrible persecution on the church. You can imagine they were not inclined to pray for him. They were not inclined to think that God would have any interest, any possibility of an interest in saving someone like Nero. Nearly everyone in authority was troublesome to the church. So Paul says, pray for all kinds of people. The king. Oh, the king. And all those in authority. The church was mostly filled with the lower classes of society. There were many slaves in the churches, which was, I guess, the lowest class of society. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you see your calling and election, brethren, how not many wise, not many noble. And he goes through a list of these not many's, and it's talking about the upper echelons of society, the upper echelons of the academia and politics and all that. There are not many of you. But God has chosen the nothings of the world. But here Paul says, pray for all kinds of people. Pray for the ones who are like you, low, insignificant. Pray for the ones that are at the top of the pile, who have authority over you, and even those that use their authority to punish you and persecute you and make your life difficult because you are a believer in Christ. And while he does not go on to list other categories, he does in other places say that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, sophisticated or barbarian and all that. And what he's talking about is different classes of people. And so he could have said, pray for kings. Pray for nobodies. Pray for men. Pray for women. Pray for Jews. Pray for Gentiles. Because, why? God desires all kinds of people to be saved. He has purposed to save a people from every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. It's his desire to do so. Now, what are we to pray for these people? He says, pray for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, if the church wants to live a basically untroubled existence in this world, it's to her advantage if those who are the rulers of this world are among the people of God, that God has saved them. It changes their attitude about things. But it could also be this way. We pray for them that not only might God save them and thus change their whole view of things, but if not save them, restrain them. Restrain them from venting their anger against his people. Why? So that we can get rich? No, that's not the issue. Just so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. You know, this may sound, I don't know, mean. It's not mean, but basically saying we just want to be left alone. We're not troubling anybody. We're preaching a message, but we aren't calling for any revolts. We aren't calling for the lower classes to rise up against the upper classes. We're worshiping God. And we just want to be left alone to do that in peace and quietness. And to that end, we pray for all kinds of people. He wants all kinds of people to save and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, those who believe that God, that this verse actually means, verse 4, actually means that God wants every individual to be saved, then that presents us with a very difficult question to answer. Because Paul equates being saved with coming to a knowledge of the truth. They are one and the same. The word translated "and" sometimes means plus, as we normally use it, this and that. Sometimes it's used as a way to introduce another definition of the same thing. We don't speak this much in modern English, but you could put the word "even" there. He wants all men to be saved, even to come to the knowledge of the truth. Being saved and coming to the knowledge of the truth is the same thing. Now, if God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, why isn't He sending the truth to every individual? Paul says a man cannot believe what he does not know. And he cannot know what he hasn't heard. Does God not have the power to make His truth known to every individual? And if He truly wanted everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth, would He be reluctant to see to it that everyone actually heard the truth? You can be sure of this. Everyone whom God wants to save will hear the truth, will come to know it, and will believe it. And it will be God that worked to ensure that. And this people whom God desires to save comes from all classes of society. Every distinction there is to be found within natural men will be represented in the kingdom of God. People from all races, people of all levels of intelligence, people of all different kinds of personality, people of all of differing levels of influence in this world, they'll all be in there. Why? Because God's desire is that His church be made up of all kinds of people. So we may say that there is nothing about a man, nothing about an individual that would disqualify him from participation in the grace of God. That is, there's nothing about his natural self. And that in the same way, there's nothing about a person's natural self that qualifies them for the grace of God. Nothing about our natural selves has any bearing whatsoever on whether or not the grace of God is purposed for us, worked for us, and applied for us. From the most righteous to the most sinful by human standards. And all the levels in between, God has a people. From all levels of influence. Now, why would God say, pray for all kinds of people? Well, look at verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, if there's only one God, then He is the God of all men, isn't He? The old world, the ancient world, had many gods. That is, men believed in many different gods. And they believed that the various gods ruled only over certain sections of the world. And while the God in which we believe was often called the God of Israel, the pagans misunderstood what that meant because they thought that He was God only in Israel. No, God is God everywhere. Our God is God over the universe. He's God over every square inch of this world, and He is God over every individual that has ever come into this world. Therefore, seeing that we pray to this God, it's completely reasonable that we would pray for all kinds of people from every part of the world. Whether it be some geographical area, or by world, we just mean the world of humanity and all the differences that exist among men. There is nothing about the natural differences in men that makes them to be subject to a different God. Therefore, we who are the people of the one God pray for all kinds of people, knowing that all people are under this one God. Not only this, now it says there's one God, there's one mediator. Now, if people are to be saved, how are they going to be saved? There's only one mediator. So it doesn't matter where a person comes from. It doesn't matter what his status in life is. If he's to be saved, he's going to be saved through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what religion he may be in at any given moment. If that person's ever to be saved, he must be saved through Jesus Christ. So we who serve this God and we who believe this mediator, Jesus Christ, it's incumbent on us to pray for all kinds of people. And not just pray for those who agree with us about these matters. There's only one God. There's only one go-between, one mediator between us and God. Therefore, we pray for all kinds of men. Now, verse 6. Speaking of the man Christ Jesus, says, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. Now, here, where our translation says all men, actually, there's a little bit of difference in the way it's worded. It just has the word all. And that word all is what creates the trouble. Because people see that word all and they say, that means all without exception. Really? Well, here it just says all. Did Jesus Christ give Himself a ransom for squirrels? Did He give Himself a ransom for the devil and all his angels? So you see that certainly the Greeks and the people of this age, they would use the word all when it didn't mean every last thing without exception. He gave Himself as a ransom for all kinds of men. Now, you and I don't know who make up God's elect. We assume that our brothers and sisters that join with us in worship, we assume that they are among them, but in truth, we don't know for sure. We can look back in history and see people that gave some kind of evidence that they're among those whom the Lord ransomed. We don't know for sure. We don't know these things. God does. But Jesus Christ, and of course we're going to get to the subject of, you know, scriptures that try to set Him forth as doing His work equally for all men. But there's some overlap here. But Jesus Christ is being set forth as the ransom for all. And we know that it doesn't mean all things without exception. Once again, we learn, we define this word all to mean without distinction. He gave himself as a ransom for all kinds of people. Therefore, we should pray for all kinds of people. And this giving of himself as a ransom for all men was a testimony given in its proper time. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he revealed the will and heart of God as he gave himself as a ransom to deliver a people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, from every rank of society, from every level of morality. They're all included. He did not give himself a ransom for every individual that came in the world. But no one needs to say, well, I'm such and such a kind of person, therefore there's no hope for me. Because there's no kind of person God won't save. That makes sense to you? So this scripture, where it says that God wants all men to be saved, it doesn't mean every individual person. When it says he wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth, it doesn't mean every individual person, because God has the power and ability to make his word known to every individual. And if he wanted every individual to believe his word, to believe his truth, he would certainly see to it they came in contact with it. But all of those people of every kind whom God has chosen and Christ has redeemed, God will send the truth to them. That's why we pray for all men without distinction. We preach to all kinds of people without distinction. Okay, we'll just leave off for there. We're about 30 seconds early for quitting. That's a little unusual for me.